Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Real life.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and the fun continues.
And we are dead.
Yeah, the fun continues as now Stephanie goes right after Brendan. This is like, it's one of those where it's so early in the game, but they've done a really good job this season of editing these people to like make you believe that they were going to go so deep, and now they're gone, where we lose Brendan, we lose Morgan, we lose Stephanie. Even Jacob had a big two episodes. He didn't seem like he was long for the game. But, like, and even, like, Stephanie Gonzalez in her first episode, it's like, is she going to be around? Is she not? I don't know. But then you watch this, and, like, Stephanie Johnson just went, and I felt like that was, like, a final seven boot, not, like, a 16th place boot. And Stephanie didn't get she didn't get to experience the entire game, but I feel like she definitely left a mark on this season, and that was probably the most depressing pre-merch boot I think I've ever seen. Just the way the music, there was silence, her like talking and like the breakdown. I mean, if this episode isn't setting up like a, hey, Stephanie for a second chance type season, I really don't know what is. And I'm not just saying that because she follows us and likes our tweets. I'm saying that because of the way it was edited and because of what we've seen from Stephanie Johnson this season. I mean, I think Brendan could come back and play again. I think any of these first five could come back and play again. But the way this was edited was like, tune in next season when Stephanie Johnson gets her redemption. Like, that's what this
felt like. Wins the season 37.
Oh, yeah, my God. I mean, maybe I'm alone, but that's what I thought.
Yeah. I mean, that whole – the whole episode leading up to it was it was just so emotional. And for many, many people, not just Stephanie, but we got this whole thing on Ghost Island about her kids, how she's changed her life. We saw it with Kellen last week. Like, Ghost Island is becoming just like therapy island, which I think is kind of nice. But then we hear her pitch at Tribal Council, and I was tearing up, and you see, you know, Kellen's like waterworks behind her. And she saw, I mean, just watching her watch herself get voted out was so upsetting. I almost felt like I shouldn't have been there, because I think it was so personal and so upsetting to her that she did nothing wrong. Like so many other people we've talked about in this pre-merge, she was just too likable or too much of a threat, or like Kellen said, just said one thing that ticked them the wrong way, and she went home. And that music was the only thing I can compare it to, strictly music wise, is the Zeke and Varner vote out, because it was heavy, it was sad, and I felt extremely emotionally connected to it, and I was crying the whole time. So Stephanie, if you're listening, I cried over you.
Yeah, it was, I agree with what you're saying there. It was the way it was like edited. It was edited to make you feel a certain way. And like after, like as she was picking up her torch, you had that empty feeling of like, oh man, like what just happened? And you remember, this is somebody who only played what day did she just get voted out? Was it 17 or 18? I actually need to know this for the
day 18
for the game.
It's on threes.
No, it was she only lasted 14 days. It was actually 14.
Oh,
so I don't know why I said that. Anyway,
what do we know?
So it was day 14. But it just like on a day 14 boot to have like that type of music, to have that type of thing, it was just like, oh, okay. Like I felt like we just like it feels like you're losing like a huge player there. And this just goes to show how important a starting tribe is in this game. If you think about it, you have Brendan and Stephanie go back to back here. And I don't think either of them go if they start on Navidi. I think that they get very close with Kellen. I think that Bradley probably doesn't treat them the way he's treating them, because it seems like their own alliance, they're very receptive of everything everybody says in their own alliance. I mean, it looks like Chelsea still doesn't get any confessionals, but like she still has like a clear say in what's going on here. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like she's bringing up her opinion, and the way we're being shown, it's almost like it's kind of influencing them in some way, or they're weighing it equally.
Yeah, she and Kellen kept going. She and Kellen were kind of the ones that we saw making the decision there.
Yeah, exactly. So for me to sit here and for me to like sit here and watch this. Oh yeah, you're reading the same thing. I just got said it out loud, but that's hilarious. But to sit there and like watch this happen, I wonder if Brendan and Stephanie Johnson start off on the other tribe, how much different is this season? Because I think somebody like Kellen genuinely likes both of these people. I even think Bradley, deep down in that dark, dark heart of his, I think he even genuinely liked these people, but Bradley is doing exactly what he needs to do right now. He's not playing a bad game. And why get rid of Chelsea or Dez, who right now don't seem like they're threats to win the game? Why did they get rid of Stephanie Johnson tonight instead of Jenna or Michael? Because Stephanie Johnson sat there and gave that speech and has been talking about her kids and is a very inspirational like person right now. The longer you keep her around, the harder it is to vote her out. They had to get rid of her now because it doesn't get that much harder to vote out Michael. We know he's 18. We know how much this means to him, but they don't know. Jenna, it's not that hard to vote her out. Maybe for Seb it will be, but not for everybody else. But Stephanie Johnson gets harder and harder to vote out, and if she sits down at that final tribal council, she doesn't lose. So they got rid of her now before she could weasel her way in, because I think she probably had a really good chance. This just comes down to Bradley, Kellen, and who's the other one? Not Chelsea and and Sebastian. It really comes down to Bradley and Kellen. The two of them seem like they have their sights set on, we are just going to knock off the Malolos. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't seem like Desiree, Chelsea, or Sebastian want to do anything to change that. And it could be good gameplay for all of them. If the five of them don't actually think that there's any type of levels, the way I'm looking at it right now is Bradley and Kellen are 1 and 2. Sebastian is their middleman. And then Chelsea and Desiree are just kind of pawns in this game. And they might not know that, but that's what we're seeing.
I think when you mentioned earlier about just how the tribes broke out, I completely agree with you on that. And I was talking to my mom, because I've started getting my mom's takes on the show after the episode to bring up, because I know she listens. But she said this, and this is what I thought about, like, this vote out. It actually wasn't a 5-3 vote. Michael and Jenna did end up voting for Stephanie. So there was some knowledge beforehand. Our intern friend Robert told me that. Mm-hmm. But that was a vote where that five can't be that much tighter than those three. First of all, because there clearly are friendships in there. When Kellen was upset after that challenge, or even whenever we saw Kellen in the challenge, she was like kind of cutesy with Jenna and Stephanie, and they were consoling her when she was upset. Michael and Bradley were like, they were like feeling each other. Like, they're just a group that likes each other. And so for that Navidi 5 to say, we're so much closer than everyone else, we're so much closer, like, this is us to the end, or like Jeff said, to the 5, and then what do? It's odd, especially in a season like this, where the only thing that bonds you is like 3 days that you spent with someone and being put on the same tribe completely randomly. So it's weird. This was a very, very classic old school Survivor episode. There were no advantages. Anyone who thinks that Ghost Island could be rigged. They're wrong, because if it was rigged, Stephanie would have gotten 5 super idols.
Yeah, seriously.
So, which she didn't. She didn't even get a chance to play the game.
And I can't believe that she didn't even get a chance to play the game. I figured it was a lock because Kellen didn't play last time.
Yeah. I like it. I like that they're doing it. I like Emotional Support Island. That's what I'm going to start calling.
There you go.
I need a little, like, whoever's been making those Photoshops, I need, like, an emotional support dog thing, like, on Ghost Island. Thank you very much. There you go. But yeah, this was a very, very, like, classic old school Survivor episode. It was emotional. It was a simple vote out. There must have been zero footage of anyone from the 5 trying to flip, because there was no content with that.
No, there was no way it was going to happen. And what I think is very interesting here, you brought up the point of, oh, it's just been 3 days. But the way Bradley is trying to play this almost reminds me of a Brian Heidick type thing. He doesn't necessarily like those 5 people or those 4 people he's working with. And hey, we obviously know him and Kellen do like each other. I don't really understand his relationship with the other 3. But the way he's playing this is, it seems to him, in his mind, he is lined up very well with this 5. I bet in his head he's sitting there on this day with 15 people left, with 16 people left, with 17 people left, saying, if I can get to the final 5 with Kellen, with Chelsea, with Desiree, and with Sebastian, I'm going to win the game. And I firmly believe that that's what he's thinking in his head. And I don't think he's necessarily wrong. I do think that from what we're being shown, Kellen's got a better chance to win than Bradley, obviously. But I think that right now, the way he's trying to play is actually being successful. And that, why would you want to stray from that and work with these really likable people like Brennan and Stephanie Johnson, who you're probably not going to beat if they get to the end? What's Bradley going to say to beat Stephanie Johnson? He's not going to say anything. The only thing he can say is to write her name down and get her out early. And it's a shame that it's this early. It's a shame the tribe shook out the way they did, because I'm sitting there looking at like Laurel and Donathan
and tribe is fun.
They're having a great time.
That tribe is great. They're a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. But that's the thing. And I'm the last person to like support watching a pagonging, because I don't like it. But when it comes to the gameplay of it, it sucks, but it's good for them. Like, they have to do that, because Michael is he's really good at this game and he's really likable. Stephanie Johnson, Brennan, like you just said, they're just a good group. And no one, like, if I'm on Survivor and I have the chance to vote out someone who can 1,000% win the game, I'm not going to sit here and think, oh, you know what? The 8 million people who watch Survivor are really not going to have a good time if I vote out Phil instead of Robert. Like, that, I'm playing for myself. I'm playing to win the game. And that was not the boring move. It wasn't the move that I wanted to see, but that was the right move. It was 1,000% the right move.
Yeah.
And it sucks because Stephanie's awesome and Brendan's awesome. And there's still a lot of really, really awesome people on the season. But yeah, that was pretty sad. That was pretty upsetting.
You sit here and it's like, is this the South Pacific tribe all over again? And granted, you still have half the tribe on the other side. What's going to happen when these 2 tribes come together and Dom with his idol and the legacy advantage and Donathan and all these people can finally get back together? And I am going to say it right now. I am going to say it. Live and for everybody to hear, I like Chris a lot.
Love Chris.
I cannot believe it. I want everybody to know that I like Chris a lot. His rap was horrific, but it was hilarious.
Personally insulting how bad it was.
It really was. I mean, that was the first time I've actually been angry with a Survivor. He dumbed me down by a couple of years, but that was, I like him a lot, and I'm having a great time watching him. I think he brings a lot to this season, and I think between him on one tribe and Bradley on another, you have 2 very fun – Bradley's a villain, but I don't think Chris is a villain. I think he was just portrayed that way early on. Him and Donathan tonight was great. It was phenomenal. Yeah. And
go ahead. Finish your sentence.
I just want to say, what's going to happen when all of these personalities finally come together next week? We have a swap coming. You know who's in a lot of trouble? Bradley's in a lot of trouble, because he has been pretty mean to people. He's in a lot of trouble. And I don't mean mean in like a Russell Hance way. He's just been mean in like a, I'm not working with you. It's not going to happen. And guess what? If now Michael can get the numbers because they decide that they're going to swap to 5, 5, and 5, Bradley's in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. I just to go back to the Chris thing, and then we'll talk about the swap later. I have been saying this about Chris for a couple weeks now. This guy is great. And we got a positive Chris episode this week. We've had more negative oriented Chris episodes, but he's, it's the vessel. I'm telling you guys, it's the vessel. It's the big meathead guy who is confident because he is a beautiful model and he's confident. People have told him that his whole life, and his job is to be confident. That's just a part of who he is. But just because he's more confident than some people does not make him a bad guy. If people think that he is a bad person after what we saw with him and Donathan, they're not paying attention. They're just looking for a reason to hate the big meathead. I think Chris is fantastic. I think he's a goofball. Like, he wins that and he's like, by the way, I'm claiming chocolate, but if you guys want the others, like, whatever, it's fine. Like, that was funny. I like you. I like you. I like me. That was funny. He's funny. He just doesn't, he wasn't born with the gift of tact. And I think that in a way makes him a little more endearing.
Seriously, I totally understand, and I agree with what you're saying here. It's like you're watching a guy who you're told at the onset isn't a likable guy, and now he is, and you're kind of having to come to terms with that, whereas you knew you were going to like Stephanie Johnson coming into the season. You knew you would like Brandon coming into the season. You didn't expect to like him coming into the season, and now all of a sudden it's kind of turned where you have people saying, you know what, maybe I don't want to work with Wendell and Dominic. Maybe I want to work with Chris. I mean, him and Donathan were having a real conversation. Like, Donathan was trying to finish his sentences, and it was really funny because it was exactly what Chris was trying to say. Mm-hmm. And I love the dynamic of that tribe where you have, like, Laurel, you have Donathan. They're all coming together very strong. And James is, like, all stoked that they won again. Like, this is a very strong tribe. What's going to happen when we get this swap? I think we go 5-5-5 and there's two boots. I think that's what we're going to end up seeing here. And then we're going to end up going to 13 for the merge because that's when Dominic would have to play his legacy advantage. Mm-hmm. I mean, are we going to be in a situation where the next two boots are Bradley and Kellen and we're sitting here with everybody who interacted with us on Twitter is actually pre-merge and they've been trolling us this whole time?
And all of a sudden, nobody in the post-merge wants to play with us.
Nobody likes us because we've hyped up the post-merge. We've hyped up pre-merge so much. I mean, my gosh.
I mean, whether it's 5-5-5 or – or maybe they do
they give somebody get a ghost island for the entire time.
Someone goes to Ghost Island
for the whole thing.
Yeah, whichever one it'll be. But you bring up a good point with that Bradley and Michael thing because I feel like that's an unfinished plot line that we're going to get a little bit of. And like you said, Bradley could be in a lot of trouble because he stonewalled half of his tribe. And we also have two fractured groups of Navidis of original Navidis on current Navidi. And Chris or Dom, I after this episode, you see them kind of more leaning towards the Chris and Angela side, or at least the Chris side. Those are four Malolos. Michael hooks up with one of them, brings along Chris, Bradley's gone, or Kellen's gone, Dez is gone. So there's still hope for that Malolo tribe. And I think I mentioned this on our predictions, but we are being told to pull for the Malolos. There is a reason that they are getting this whole, like, obviously they're getting this underdog thing because they are underdogs, but we're getting real, real, like, emotional content from them. Like, Michael, he was crying tonight. And that was a different kind of camera angle confessional, too, because he wasn't speaking to the camera. He was kind of speaking at the camera. We're really, really being told to like them. So I can't imagine that it's going to get decimated.
I mean, they could, though. We were also told to like the no-callers back in in Worlds Apart. And they went boom, boom, boom. Ended. And yeah, we see how that ended. But I just sit there and I watch what we've seen so far. And I really do like the people who are left. I just kind of hope that just from an edit perspective, we lose Chelsea and we lose Dez before this merge, because that would be my best case scenario. But I don't think that's what we're going to get. I think for sure we're losing at least one more big player, possibly two more big players. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if this swap is the reason Bradley ends up going home. I mean, we saw him tonight. He was trying. He was talking to Stephanie a little bit.
Don't you think Bradley had a really good episode?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I think that he was shown more positively and at least trying to get in with people. But then again, maybe the editors are just messing with us to be like, hey,
we're going to give you positive shook him. I think he said it. I think that last tribal council really shook him and he had to reevaluate.
He didn't think he had any chance of going home. And that's the thing. He gets his second life here in the game. And now he wants to change up what he's doing, but he's still not going to change it up enough to put himself in danger. The one good thing for Bradley is if he ends up on a tribe with any of those other four Navidis, he is safe. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just has to end up with one or two. He has to end up with one of them and maybe an Angela or maybe he can't end up with, three Malolos. It just can't happen. Because if he ends up with Jenna or Michael on his tribe and there's two other Malolos, he's done. Because they're going to be like, yo, Bradley was in control. We got to get him out of here. So, I mean, I know that's kind of what it's supposed to be for the prediction episode, but we know a swap is coming. And I'm just looking at the fact that we just lost like two huge storylines back to back. I feel like we can give Game of Thrones spoilers now, right? It's like one of those, if you haven't watched it, whatever. Stop killing the Starks. Like, my God, give me a Lannister. Like, please.
Yeah,
like,
we just lost Ned and Kat.
Yeah, exactly. Like, please give me a Lannister. And I guess that's like a really good compliment because we all know the Lannisters are more entertaining.
I mean,
but
we got this is a really good off-season podcast. I'm actually going to write this down. Like Game of Thrones to Survivor. Yeah, we're going to do that in the off-season. Stay tuned. I think to go back to the edit thing, because I've like flip-flop on how I feel about the editing this season. And I think that they've done a really good job editing episode by episode. Like, a standalone episode, I think, is edited very well. Like, Stephanie, we got her whole thing. Brandon, we got this whole thing. Like, Gonzalez and Jacob especially got this whole thing. Even Morgan, too. But I take a step back, and like you just said, let's say we lose Bradley and Michael in the next two vote-outs. We're about to go into a merge with people who I honestly don't really know anything about. And so I'm frustrated that, like, Dez, Angela, even Libby. I mean, where's Libby been? Like, Sebastian, yeah. Chelsea, all these people. Even Wendell. Like, we really don't know anything about Wendell. We just know that, like, people just really like him. But we like him. I don't know how the players feel about him. And so that part is frustrating to me, where we could end up in a merge where we're doing our predictions or I'm watching it and I'm like, I don't know who's friends with who. I have no idea.
And it's hard because you want to like the people who go pre-merge, because so many times we see like a Lucy situation where they just go home. Paul, even, like, we didn't really get to know him. But Cece, I mean, you see it a lot. I mean, that was just Millennials for Gen X, but you see it a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that we're getting to know these people, because they are, I mean, it's also a case of a lot of your people who are going early. It's just a great cast. And a lot of your people who are going early are very, 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 very likable. I mean, it's hard not to edit Stephanie Johnson. It's hard not to edit Brendan up. Like, it's hard not to do that. Morgan, I mean, we want to see these people play. And so it's just, you always fall into that trap of, yeah, like Libby, she had one great episode and disappeared. Chelsea, we see her talking to people. We don't ever hear from her. Dez today was going through the bag. That was like the first time we've really heard from her in a while. And aside from that, it's like, yeah, I know everybody else, but like, where are they going to go once like this swap now happens? I mean, we didn't really have to see much of the whatever, is it Malolo now? Whatever tribe it is, the one that got rid of Morgan. We haven't had to see much of them. And Chris still has not gone to a tribal council, which is like really crazy. But if he keeps performing the way he is in challenges, he's never going to go to a tribal council. So it won't even matter. Yeah. Tonight in the reward challenge, he was fantastic. And I love that he just owned it and was like, yeah, I used to pitch. Like, of course
he pitched. He used to throw a rock, which Jeff asked a question I think many of us had, which was, what does that mean? Because I thought, I interpreted football, which I know, like, I don't know. I guess I thought football, and then he said he was a pitcher. And I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Well, the baseball. Rock is normally basketball, too. So that's why it was even weirder. Because I'm like, who's throwing a basketball like that?
We have three different sports right there. And, like, we needed him to clarify that. And also, what did he say? I wrote this down. I want those pastries. Like, he shucks that last one. He's like, I want those pastries. And Donathan's like, cinnamon rolls. It was so cute. And then challenge two was awesome. I like how it's not like you just hit your target once. You got to keep hitting it. So it spins like,
yeah, you got to actually put some oomph on it. I don't think Sebastian hit it once.
No, I mean, he probably only had like two opportunities.
I mean, still he was missing by a lot.
Yeah, that looked hard. Cause it was far and it was high too. You had to really chuck those.
And I'm kind of glad we're getting a tribe mix up here because the tribes aren't even. It's pretty clear that they're really just not even at
all. And
the
puzzle duo, Bradley and Kellen, lost for their first time also.
And they edited that very well. It looked like they were going to win. It looked like they were pulling it off. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, by the way, Dom has it done. I mean, It was funny how both tribes instantly knew it was Ghost Island. I think it might have just been Ghost Island spelt backwards, almost, like it was weird. But
yeah.
but everybody knew that that was what the word was. It was just funny to see like the editing pretty much make you believe like, wow, Kellen and Bradley are gonna own, and they didn't.
They didn't. James and Dom pulled it out. Yep. Yeah, challenges were pretty good. Trying to think, the surfing one was, I don't know. I mean, it was like visually kind of cool, but and like Des like being a dolphin for a minute was kind of cool. But I would, what happened to Chelsea where she kind of like petered off, that would have been me. Because if you don't have the right angle while they're pulling it, because you're how many, like 200 feet away, you could easily just like flip over and they just yank that thing out from under you.
Yeah, and that puzzle wasn't that hard. And this wasn't a challenge that strictly came down to the puzzle. So I think that's why Malolo ended up losing. And I will say, I think Navidi made the right move on sending Wendell out there. Because, yeah, I get that they were, that Malolo was trying to send out Chelsea because she was the lightest. But you saw Chelsea and Libby both struggling with that. They should have sent out like somebody who was a little bit bigger, like just be, so that they could actually pull the rope. Because I don't think it was that easy to get it going, especially when you're walking that first thing. You couldn't really get momentum because it would keep going underwater, so you couldn't really run on it. And you could see Libby was going so slow, and Chelsea ended up falling off because I really think that when you're like in the water, you don't have all of your momentum, and you're getting pulled back by the rope that it doesn't have, it's not coming with you automatically. There's no momentum for that rope to be following you. So I think you needed to put out somebody who was a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger. This wasn't just a cut and dry, send out your two smallest girls.
Yeah. I mean, look, Des would be like, is like a little more muscular and probably like a little bit taller than them. And she like crushed that part.
It's almost like they should have sent out Seb, to be honest. I mean, once you get that thing going, you don't really need the strongest guys.
It's all just momentum. Helps,
but it, at that point, it's just going anyway. I mean, you could pull them. It's going to spin. That's all I need to say. So I think they should have probably sent out Sebastian. I think they would have been in much better shape. So I don't know. We can go ahead, Alexa. Rip on me real quick before we get off.
Oh my
topic.
God! I didn't even do it. First of all, I almost called you Chris.
I know my abs are looking good, but
yeah, because we were all sad. I know, yeah, you got the Chris like blonde scruff thing going on. It looks good. We're all sad, but I just want everybody to know, Phil lost the eliminator game tonight. He picked Stephanie Johnson to survive, and I picked my boy Chris, and Vaughn picked Angela, and Sunday picked Laurel. So Sunday keeps the ex survivors alive. Phil, how did I know Sunday's been tweeting at us? She wants to know, how did Sunday do in the power rankings?
She might have knocked me out in the eliminator game, but she did not do the best in the power rankings. In fact, she did the worst out of the three of us. Ooh. She got 12 points for her placement of Stephanie. Alexa, you got 15 and I got 13. So I'm still up 35. Alexa has 34 and the team survivor has 30.
We're better right than now, heard it here first.
Right now, Julia Sokolowski is actually like the MVP of the
I didn't really watch any of the Survivor
tribe there, because she had Brendan in a good spot compared to you and me. Adam's still definitely LVP if we were doing that voting for having Morgan in spot 8. But anyway,
maybe not watching is making everyone onto something, because I think like you were saying earlier, we were all like all up on these people who are now gone in the pre-merge. So clearly like we're super backwards about it. I'm looking at the prop bet and everyone's pretty low in the prop bet too. And boot list, like everyone's boot list is now double destroyed after like between the Morgan thing and the I pitched everyone on Gonzalez and like the Brendan thing and Stephanie
Johnson.
I had her, I'm like kind of upset that I only had her two ticks off from where she, I had her two places off from where she is. I think you had her kind of high up, but
I did.
Yeah, she was a lot. Yeah, and so is your eliminator choice.
So. Yeah, so Alexa beat me for the first time in the history of time.
I'm gonna lose next week. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, it'll come down to Vaughn and the survivors, and they're all gonna be like, "Who is Vaughn?
Who is this Vaughn?" Great. They never. It's so funny because every time we've brought up Vaughn, either before we go live or while we're live, they just have this blank look, like, "Oh, okay." Who's Vaughn?
Eventually, we're going to find somebody who Vaughn met, and they're going to be like, Vaughn? My man, oh, yeah. Vaughn, like that's going to be it. Vaughn
knocked on my door.
Yeah, exactly. One thing Sunday was right about, she said, my guy Michael Yerger survives. He did survive. Yeah,
Sunday called that.
And I was thinking it was going to be him.
Yeah, I said Michael was going to go home, which was wrong. So Sunday, great job. Thank you. Yeah, good job, Sunday. Crushed it.
Yeah, I thought that Michael was in a lot of trouble here tonight, just because it sucks that Simi Johnson didn't get to go to Ghost Island and actually play a game. It's kind of surprising to me that they didn't assume that she might have an idol. They didn't even try to split up the votes. I wonder if Stephanie could have like maybe sold that, made them split the votes, and on that try, because there's only it was what 5-3. If they were splitting it 3-3-2, you might be able to be like pull somebody and say, hey, let's do this. Otherwise, we're gonna, you know, put our three votes at you and Stephanie's going to play her idol. So I wonder if she, what ended up going down with that, because they didn't seem scared at all that she might have one.
Yeah, I think they must have been. Well, I don't know if that was a result of Dez like going through her stuff.
Well, that's true too. That's
yeah, very, so yeah. It might have been that, but because like where else would you put it? They like don't have much clothes, they don't have much stuff tied. Actually, that reminds me, before, let me finish this and then I know you have something to say.
Oh, I do. Yes.
So I'm going to guess that was it. So because there was enough confidence, they went into that vote going for Stephanie. She was going to go home. I don't think her pitch at tribal council really changed anything. I think if anything, it just confirmed why they were going to get rid of her. But yeah, I actually did think they were going to go Michael, but I think Michael's pitch was so much, let me help you instead of I need you to help me. And I think that was what saved him.
I think they feel like once again they can get rid of Michael before they can get rid of Stephanie Johnson.
Yeah,
like they can get rid of Michael easier later than they can get rid of Stephanie Johnson later.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Tell me your thing.
So here's my point here. So I wanted to bring this up and maybe we can get some insider info here if I'm actually correct. But in that first challenge when they were pulling the sandbags off of the lever, you saw at the end of that everybody had to run up to the next thing. When you watch that clip, Bradley and Michael are both standing there looking around at the bag still, looking for some sort of clue, advantage, or idol. If you watch it again, and I don't know how many people noticed it this time.
I didn't catch it at all. I got to watch it.
But what happens is they're throwing them off. They pull the lever. Everybody runs up. When they're running up, you see Michael and Bradley both still looking at the bags. And there's even one where Bradley like moves a bag. They were definitely looking for some sort of idol because clearly both of them are obviously, you know, Michael's definitely in danger and Bradley feels like he's in danger. And the two of them stayed behind because if you watch the other tribe, they just instantly run up. I forget who was pulling the bags for them, but they just instantly run up. Bradley and Michael do not. And I was almost like, wait, do they not have to go up to the mat? Is that not something they have to do? And then when they ran up, Jeff was like, everybody needs to get to the mat. Everybody needs to get to the mat. And finally they get up there and I was like, oh, okay, that makes a lot more sense. But they definitely stay behind trying to find some sort of advantage or something in the
did they have to get to the mat before they moved on to the next part?
Yeah, he even says everybody's gonna get to the mat.
Okay. Because that's the thing, like that's when you gotta be super discreet about, because they probably only had 2 seconds to look and also not be too obvious about it. Even though I'm sure, like, I hope that this did happen because I would love to know like what their interaction was going like while that was going down. But I gotta rewatch that. I bet you're onto something, because if there's a place like hide a clue or hide an idol or hide an advantage, it's in these massive sandbags that you're just tossing. Like even a runner could probably stumble upon it. So I think you're onto something with that.
And if they've been watching recent seasons, I mean, Troyzan found one at the end of that puzzle challenge. He just reached up and grabbed it. So they could be thinking, oh, it's right there. And maybe they just didn't get like a clue or something for it, but they could be thinking, hey, if they're going to bury this lever, like they've never done a challenge like this, why not hide something? And it's funny because you see both of them stop and take a look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to rewatch it. And everyone else. And also Bradley, we know you listen to us. I don't know if you're allowed to tell us, but maybe someday you can tell us whether or not that's true.
Yeah, you can give us like a wink, wink twice if it's true.
Yeah, send us a winky emoji. Yeah, exactly. No one will know what you're
talking
about.
We'll never get it.
Just DM us a wink. It'll go over great.
Yeah. So what else is there? Is there much else? I mean, this was for a season that's been like pretty exciting in terms of unpredictability. Like, will they play the idol right? Morgan going home was a big blindside. Stephanie Gonzalez going home was a blindside to not really many people, but still – Jacob going home was a crazy one. I mean, they said hashtag blindside. It makes no sense. But this was a weird episode because it was really just which of the three is going to go home, not anything else. So it was kind of strange how that worked. And you know, unfortunately, probably, and this is nothing against Jenna or Michael, it's just the truth, probably the most likable of the three went home tonight. And it's just kind of, it sucks that it's already at this point where you're losing really, really big characters who in a normal season, you might be like, oh, they're going to go deep into the merge. But on this season where the swap just worked out, where it was 5-4, they lost the first two challenges and they ended up on the tribe that had with the tribe that had no division in them. They're gone. They have no shot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was like, it was one of those things. I think it was Kellen who, when they were walking back to camp after they lost, and Kellen was like, yep, it's going to be one of those three. And that always, like, that can go either way. That's like, oh, either Kellen's getting blindsided or one of those three is actually going home. But because there was just no budge, and the entire, all of the conversations at camp were just individually siphoned off between the three of them pleading their case. So I think they didn't have a ton to work with because there was no budging, but I'm okay with that because it made for a more well-rounded episode. Like, I felt like I got to know Michael more on a personal level when we got to know him on a more strategic level last week. And then we didn't get much from Navidi, but that's not going to happen because they keep winning. But what we did get was another emotional moment. And I know someone tweeted this at us earlier, and Joe brought this up with his entire season. He thinks, and he's probably onto something, where these emotional, emotional occurrences are happening because there isn't any strategy going on, which probably in this episode, mm-hmm. I think that's really true. But the thing is, I like it. Like, I'm okay with it. I can't like emotionally deal with a Brendan and a Morgan boot every single week. Like, that's just a lot of intensity at once.
Yeah. No, and I think that's a good point. Like, tonight there was no drama, so they had to create the drama from the characters. And they have it's a shame it was Stephanie, but Stephanie's a very good character, so it's easy to create drama within her character. And when you have Brendan and Morgan go, the drama was, are they really going to be the ones who get blindsided here? And Brendan wasn't really so much blindsided, but are they really going to be the ones who go? So what's happening is you're getting a lot of really likable pre-merge boots. And hey, I mean, this is a season where you could just do a do-over and have the first five people voted out be on an island again. I mean, you could just have the five of them be on a tribe, and you have your older male who's strong and could win the game. You have your super fan woman who's doing it for her kids. You have the one who looks out of place but totally isn't in Stephanie Gonzalez. You have your super fan in Jacob, and you have your really fun, huge personality in Morgan. You have five people that you're looking for there who could come out and provide. I mean, I feel like we could have just lost the final five in the first five boots, and I don't feel like that every season. I mean, last season you lost a lot, but Simone didn't feel like somebody was going to go to the final five to me. Patrick, once we actually started seeing him play, didn't feel like somebody was going to the final five to me.
Katrina,
we saw nothing of. So, like, yeah, Allie hurt, but, like, Rourke didn't really get all that much either. So right now we're losing the bigger people. Like, maybe Chelsea and Dez are the final two, and they're sitting there next to each other, and we're going, wait, how did this happen?
Chelsea's only spoken three times, and not a single one has been in a confessional.
Yeah, exactly. But somehow they're in the final two, and they didn't even put a third person there. I don't know.
After you listed those five people, I'm realizing Morgan's going to be a little lonely on this pre-merge trip unless Navidi goes home.
I know. She needs a Navidi back. Yeah. I mean, nobody she can make a friend with has gone home.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, that's a really insane. Good point. No one on a tribe that she's been on has left. That's crazy. Why is she making so many new friends?
Look at her go. Huh? Well, her and Jacob are already friends because he wrote her name, which cursed her.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, so it's Jacob's fault, and they can talk about that. I'm just really liking, like, it's a shame that we're losing so many good people, but I still think we have a lot of potential left in the cast that's left, and it's kind of crazy that each boot feels like we're losing something huge. And this is just a great cast at this point. I mean, I just hope that it can keep going as they keep losing these huge, huge characters like Stephanie and Brendan and Jacob and all of that. I mean, these are great characters. So, like, hopefully it can maintain, but I really think it's going to, because I think a lot of the people that we haven't seen a lot from, like a Wendell, like a Libby, maybe even an Angela, I think they have a lot to give. I think that there's a lot still there for them to give. Even Laurel, we haven't seen a whole lot of Laurel, but Laurel's always there. Laurel's playing a very good under the radar game in terms of making the relationships with Donathan. She was there on the beach for somebody else, or she was talking about wanting to work with Wendell more than wanting to work with Chris. She's sitting on the beach with Dominic. Laurel is very much a big part of this without really getting like confessional screen time. So it's, I don't know. I'm really digging this cast. It's just a shame that we're losing someone every week, which, you know, that's the Survivor thing.
That's kind of what happens sometimes.
Yeah, I know, but I really can't remember the last time that I had this. Even Millennials vs. Gen X, which Alexa and Will famously made the best season of all time, according to us.
According to us.
Yeah, according to us.
I think it
was three. But anyway, that one, even like their pre-merge, you didn't really feel like you lost like an insane amount. You had like the bootleg Cece and Paul and Rachel, like,
and those didn't like personally affect me that much.
No, they don't like hurt you. You know, you feel for Figgy, but then at the same time, it's like I didn't get like the same emotional response from Figgy that I did the last 3 weeks. That's for sure. My God,
really? Didn't cry when Figgy was voted out?
I did not. I wonder how my parents are dealing with this. They were so upset over the Brendan thing. They were
my
just
mom
like,
called
why?
Me. Oh, go ahead.
My mom goes, "Why'd you have to meet Bradley?" You know.
Yeah, maybe that was like the opposite of the kiss of death. Like, because you met Bradley, now he's doing well, and everyone you love is dying.
Oh, and he's probably loving all of our predictions, just being so wrong. And he's sitting there like twirling his mustache that he puts on fake every night before he goes to bed.
And then all the poor, and then he takes it off when he goes to bed.
Exactly.
And then all these people who are like, "Do you know who's gonna win? Jacob Gonzalez, Brendan Morgan, and Stephanie Johnson." And they're probably like, Well, F me. Like, this sucks.
I think I had every single one of them making the merge except Gonzalez, who I had at like 13th. Like, oh, okay. Good job, Phil. Pat yourself on the back here. You're doing great.
Yeah. I think we need to do like, we got to do some kind of like thing, like stuff that our parents say. Cause my mom called me like right after this episode and for a half an hour complained about like the concept of pagonging. It was so funny.
Yeah, it's bad, but you're also,
and it was true. I was like, you're right.
When was the last time that we ever saw pagonging like pre-merge? This is weird.
I know. It is weird. So they're switching it up. This is really weird. Yeah, they're switching it up, keeping the magic alive.
It'll be fine. It's just a shame. Yeah. Stephanie and or Brendan couldn't have made it to the next swap. Mm-hmm. They just needed to win one more challenge, which I'm sure doesn't haunt them at all.
Not in the slightest. Why don't we do MVP, LVP, and then move over to some comments?
Okay. I'm going to say, just because I want to pull from my tribe, I will say the MVP. I don't have anybody.
Yeah, what are you
going to
do with that?
Desiree. She almost drowned, but she won it. She didn't fall off like Chelsea did. And Desiree also, I mean, she went through the bag. She's the one who found out Stephanie didn't have the idol. And she said, guys, she doesn't have the idol. She didn't get caught. She's looking good. Desiree got to talk tonight. She got to talk at Tribal Council. I'm loving Desiree. She's an easy, easy MVP.
All right. So who do you actually think should be the MVP?
Probably Chris.
Okay.
Which is on Joe Meta's tribe. Joe still has both his people, by the way. The leftovers.
Crushing it. I'm gonna give it to Michael because I think Michael actually saved himself. Michael very easily could have been the person who went home. And I think his sales pitch to Bradley and to whoever else he spoke to, I think that was what saved him. And so I think that puts Michael in a really good position. If I'm gonna pitch someone from my team, it's probably gonna be Donathan, who's on my team. Yep, Donathan's on my team. Because like, not just because like we got like a good, like edit emotional moment from him, but this is someone who like, he gave up a lot to go into this game. And instead of letting that break him, he's not using that, but he's opening himself up to make relationships with people that he wouldn't speak to otherwise. He and Chris, I mean, Chris mentioned this, that those two, they were the two who had spoken the least on their tribe. And he got a really unlikely ally slash friend in Chris. He's really, really tight with Laurel. I think Donathan is in a similar position to Laurel, where he is just kind of poking around with everybody. But I think people aren't fearful of him. And I think that puts him in a really great position, especially in a swap situation. Because why would you get rid of him when you can get rid of Michael or you could get rid of Chris?
If I had your tribe, I think I would actually pick Jenna because she smelled terrible. She smelled so bad, Sebastian couldn't get enough.
What did she smell like? They said something.
A weasel or something.
It was like weasel breath or something.
It was really funny, though. I mean, her and Sebastian, hey, you know what? MVP could easily be Sebastian. He's the only one out of that five who's actually made a relationship on the other side, which could be very beneficial when you merge up with the other side or going into a possible swap. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a very good move on his part. That might be something Jenna says, hey, not only do I want to work with you, I want to date you. So, you know, let's see what happens.
Wonder how that would work out.
Yeah, I wonder if whatever happens.
What I loved so much, I'm glad you brought that up, but I loved so much about that scene is Jenna was like, all right, I got to turn off my resting bee face and I got to go like make some friends. And she actually had a good moment too, where she was like, I came out here like kind of to like become better at making relationships. But she's like, okay, I'm going to turn on the flirt card. And goes over, and she and Sebastian are sitting on the beach, and she's like, she's flirting. Like, she's very clearly flirting. And Sebastian is like, he like licked his arm and then like bit it. And then he was like, you smell gross. And then he like made a kind of face. And
yeah, you saw all the spit.
It actually like splattered all over the camera. And I'm watching this, and I'm just like, this is the weirdest flirtation response that I've ever seen. Like, you have this really, really pretty cool girl, like really like clearly flirting with you, and you are like sticking your tongue out making a monkey butt like face. It was so funny. I loved it.
I watched Survivor alone, and as I was watching, I audibly said, I love Sebastian. I just couldn't help it. It just came out. I didn't even mean to. It's just so ridiculous every time. I'm loving it.
Who's your LVP? I was kind of trying to.
There really isn't one. So I think everybody should just vote on that. I mean, if I had to, like, the thing
could not pitch it and see what everyone thinks. But actually,
I think everybody should just do it. Because, I mean, like, what are you going to give it to Michael or Jenna? They both made it. They both did enough.
They're
going to
give it to Bradley because they don't like him.
Yeah, but Bradley definitely is an LVP. Everything's going his way. It can't be somebody on that tribe. It can't be Chelsea. It can't be Dez. It can't be Bradley. It can't be Kellen. I mean, you want to give it to Angela because she didn't speak tonight? Like, what? Like, I don't know. So let everybody pick.
All right. Yeah, I don't know who that could be. Okay. Yeah, everyone, let us. Well, this is one of the first times we even pitched it. So vote for your LVP. Yeah. Let's move over to some comments.
All right. So, gamer girl, is Chris redeeming himself or anyone else besides me? As we just said, I'm really liking Chris a lot. So I'm glad that other people are noticing this, because I know somebody like Gamer Girl, who really hated Chris at the beginning here. Normally, Gamer Girl doesn't change her opinions, but she's changing it now on Chris. I'm liking Chris, and I hope other people are too.
Yeah.
Hope Joe Manna is proud of him, because right now Joe Manna is sitting pretty with 48 points.
Hashtag middle school makeout.
Hashtag middle school makeout.
Andy Vogel. Hi, Andy. I'll try to ask a question despite being emotionally wounded by this episode. What does it say about the pace of play this season? Have four episodes with major pre-tribal scrambles, followed by this one where there's no quote-unquote big moves. Is this too hard, too fast? And then Chris C. Ferndog, actually, hi, Chris, also replied, and he said, I feel like this episode was a change of pace that's worthwhile in the end. In today's idle, crazy era of Survivor, tonight was all about emotions, stories, and character moments.
Yeah, and I'll, just to add to that, I think Stephanie Johnson, somebody who has a better chance of coming back than somebody like Alan Ball. And Stephanie Johnson's episode tonight was all emotion. There was no big blindside. There wasn't an idle play. There wasn't anybody reading anybody's face. It was just she went home, and it was really emotional. And I think that leads to what do you call it? Riley Bursch's comment. Who do you think has a better chance of getting brought back, Stephanie or Allie? I think it's Stephanie. I think the way that this was edited was just, I don't remember the last time I've seen something like this, especially so early.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Allie, we got Allie crying, but we didn't get like,
the music didn't change at Tribal Council for Allie, you know?
Yeah. They didn't just like completely reorchestrate the entire. Yeah.
I mean, this was like on the level, and it obviously isn't the extreme because it wasn't the tribe who was necessarily reacting that way, and you didn't get a standing ovation. This was like my boy Dan Barry. I mean, this was the same type of thing where like you heard music you weren't used to hearing. Yeah. Everything was silent after the person went. There wasn't the normal Survivor Tribal Council music. And hey, Dan never came back to play again. But I think in today's day and age of Survivor, where people are always being brought back, I think Stephanie Johnson's probably on the top of the list for somebody to come back and play this game a second time.
Mm-hmm.
And from a pre-merge standpoint, let me also make that clear. let's see. We have, let's see. Riley Bursch. I feel like this boot was pretty telegraphed with them shoving in so much emotional content with Stephanie repeating it so much in such a short time. Yeah. They had to give Stephanie her due. I mean, she's a huge fan with a great story. I think that it was obvious they were going
to
do this.
Yeah, and that's kind of goes back to what I said about the editing earlier. Episode by episode, it's not bad, but you could infer who's going home based on like who the episode is about that day.
Yeah. Also, Vapor Terra. I'm looking at the top chat here. Dan Barry, Alamina, not named Terry, being mentioned in Survivor Podcast in 2018. Whoa. Go and read my incombustible theory of Dan Barry. And
Dan
also
Fuego. Dan Fuego.
That's what I call him. Of Dan Fuego. And watch our off-season podcasts on Panama. I love Dan Barry. I love him.
We're going to make him a meme. I love it.
Seriously. I love him.
All right, so it's Chris and Andy kind of going back and forth a little while. Latrice Bradshaw, throw my whole damn boot list away. Right there with you. Everyone's is dead. Okay, this is hit me on my peha. To the 5-7.
Something else.
That was not the best gameplay move going for Stephanie because she can always have an idol. Should have been Mike going out tonight. Mike's going to come back and take them out. Hashtag, oh no, you didn't. I mean, Mike's going to... The thing is, Michael could come back with a vengeance, but he was the first one when they came back to camp who was like, I got to survive, so I have to vote one of them out. It sucks. He doesn't have the... He didn't have, the connection to those two that Brendan did or that Jenna and Stephanie had to each other. Jenna was like... I feel like Jenna was going to, walk out and follow Stephanie when she left.
Yeah, I know, right? It was like, I'm going to follow Stephanie wherever she goes, but you didn't follow her this time, Jenna. I don't know. I think that Jenna. This is the right move because they were very confident that Stephanie didn't have the idol. I think that Desiree looking through the bag convinced them. If you don't look through the bag, then it's the wrong move. It should be Mike, but I think that you need to win at least one more challenge, and I think they're scared of that. I don't think they're expecting a swap at 15. You got to remember they didn't see last season. So they've never seen five people on a tribe swap. They never seen the 5-5-5 because they didn't watch 35. So they're thinking, oh, that'll never happen. It's never happened before. Mm-hmm. And then it comes and happens. So they're probably saying we need to win at least one challenge. Otherwise, it really is just going to be the five of us. And who knows if the other eight have completely bonded. But this is kind of the right move if you don't think that she has the idol.
Yeah. Nick Sam will censor the
Yeah.
Well, next time I send to this person's name.
Alexa will get better at.
Oh yeah, I was like, God, I'm in too deep already. I can't not finish their name.
Hilarious.
Sunday tweeted at us a couple times. All I want to know is if I brought the Survivor score up. Hashtag I want to win. Sunday, you did not bring up the Survivor score, but you personally kept the Eliminator game going.
And so you beat Adam.
We will send you a plaque. And you beat Adam. At this game, so please make fun of him for that.
Exactly. Wait, Gamer Girl says, is it me or did Bradley say Survivor Specialist this episode at some point? Did he?
What? Oh my God, that's going to be the new prop then.
Yeah, right. Who will actually call us out, man?
I feel like no freaking way.
We would have noticed.
I would have jumped into my television if that happened.
I like how you would have jumped into your television. I just would have crapped.
The difference between me and Phil, everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Oh boy. All right. So Ice X says, my prediction, we end up with three tribes where Navidi has a 3-2 advantage in each. I don't think they're gonna do it that way this time. I think that they're really just gonna pull and whatever happens, happens because it's gonna be 5-5-5, and I think they only plan on going to two tribal councils. So I think that it's just gonna be whoever ends up with whoever. I don't think they're gonna split it up in one specific way.
I sure hope not.
It could happen on accident, but they're not going to do it purposely.
Mm-hmm. Nicholas Booher, Stephanie Johnson is giving me Allie from Survivor 35 vibes where I wanted them to go deep. I could see them being invited back. My question is, do you think that Donathan will abandon his loyalty to Laurel in favor of Chris? I don't think those two are mutually exclusive. I think they can happen together.
I think they can happen together, too. I will say with Donathan right now, I do think he's somebody who's going to play with his heart more than his mind. And I think that Chris's story really hit him, especially since he's missing home as much as he is. And I think it was good timing. I don't think that Donathan is going to necessarily backstab Laurel, but I do think that that makes him much more inclined to work with Chris.
Mm-hmm, for
sure. Much more. When it was the right person to talk to if you're Chris.
Yeah. It's just one of those connections that spans the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your turn.
Survivor Patty is in Kellen's secret scenes. She said she's not all that bummed they are going to tribal. They're trimming those Malolo numbers down before the merge. It's a good point, but at this point, you have so many Malolos gone, and you don't actually know how the Navidi Malolo dynamic is at the other tribe, especially considering Morgan went home on a tribe that was supposed to be 4-4.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we saw this that other than like Bradley, who I feel like is kind of just playing it up for the TV. They're not like being like cocky about it the way that the round table was last season. And so I'm not waiting for it to blow up in their face because it's inevitable. I feel like it will naturally just kind of break apart because like you mentioned earlier, like what extreme emotional tie does Chelsea have to Bradley? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It doesn't seem like they have much. It just seems like it's the most convenient right now.
Mm-hmm. Survivor Patty again. This I completely forgot to bring up. Why aren't people looking for idols when they get to Ghost Island? I would be. Looking for idols when they get to Ghost Island and also looking for a replanted idol after Michael failed to capitalize on James's idol.
Yeah.
Maybe they looked and didn't find it, but I especially Ghost Island too. I think that's weird. Like, even if that thing says you can't play the game, I don't know. I think I was expecting people to hunt for more, but I'm weirdly kind of okay that they're not.
I don't know if maybe they're told like, hey, like if you're not playing the game, there's actually nothing out here. Like maybe
like giving it to him straight.
Like you're not getting an idol. Like you can't play the game. Maybe like there was like more of a speech about Ghost Island beforehand that we're not seeing. Also, if they are looking for it, it's a waste of time to show us because we know that there's nothing there. So they don't need
Yeah.
You know, like, they don't need to make Stephanie look like, oh, she's trying so hard. We know she's going to fail. You know, so I don't think that it's something that they would want to spend time on. Too much. JP says, do you guys think Chris can make it to 13 without going to tribal? I do actually think they're going to do 7-7 and not 5-5-5. I'm just like throwing out the 5-5-5 a lot. I think it's going to be 7-7 because if they do 5-5-5, how do they decide who goes to Ghost Island unless they send two people?
But then if you send two people to Ghost Island, then it's uneven.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Well, no, I'm saying 7-7, you send one person. I'm saying if they did the 5-5-5 and then like how would they determine who goes to Ghost Island when a tribe loses or something like
that? They'd probably do a reward, what they've been doing, an in-between a reward and immunity.
Yeah, but how would they decide which tribe the person has to send? Would it be like just the losing tribe outright?
The winningest tribe and the losingest tribe. That'd be my guess, right?
Yeah, that probably makes the most sense. I don't know. I feel like that they're probably going to do two tribes, though, just because it's easier. And normally when they do, like, a first season of something, they normally keep it as simple as possible. Mm-hmm. So.
I think that was it.
But to actually answer that question, I think Chris could. I mean, he's the best athlete out there. But we've been played up so much that him and Dom are going to, like, butt heads. Something has to happen eventually.
They've been butting heads for a while. And even in this preview, they were like, Dom and Chris still hate each other, even though Chris is likable now. And I feel like they have to end up on the same tribe just because
exactly
that's like the way that fate goes.
And with Wendell too, because Wendell has to be like, they're going to cut each other's heads off or whatever.
Yeah, and say it in the most like bored voice.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, mom and dad are fighting again.
Yeah, and then Nicholas Boer, this is the last question. It seems like besides Tony and Boston Rob, the people who get a lot of confessionals in the beginning episodes get voted pre-merge. Thoughts? Is this to confuse us, the audience? Has this always been a thing? Also, good night. I don't think it has. Good night. It has not always been a thing. It just depends on who the character is. If you have a great character who goes pre-merge, you're going to get a lot of screen time from them. I mean, you have to think Jeff Varner made one merge and played three times. Like, that's somebody that gave you good content in his second chances, you know, season. Mm-hmm. Like, you got a lot from him. Somebody like Kelly Wentworth didn't get that much in her first time, but they knew she had potential, so she comes back again. But she wasn't necessarily eating up a lot of screen time. Somebody like Drew Christie is eating up so much screen time when he goes home because he's a great character. Mm-hmm. So it depends on who the character is. It just so happens that the pre-merge people this season are like great characters, or at least like huge – they would have huge fan bases if they were to make it deep. If Brendan makes it to the merge, he is somebody that like every dad in America is rooting for because they want to pretend that they're Brendan. If Stephanie makes it to the merge, every single mom is rooting for Stephanie. Like, they would have huge fan bases. That's why they're getting so much screen time at the beginning here. It doesn't always happen. We have seen seasons where I just went through Millennials versus Gen X, where it's like Cece, Rachel, Paul. They didn't get much screen time. You see it a lot. It's just this season is different because a lot of them were great characters.
When it comes to like premiere confessionals, and also when it comes to like people's positions in the intro video. And I read into the edit like more so than I want to, or more so than I probably should. But stuff like that, that has zero effect on who I think is going to win the game. If someone doesn't speak in the premiere, they're probably not going to win the game. But I'm not going to sit there and say like, oh, well, Kellen is the first person who spoke on this season. She's going to win or be a final tribal council loser or is like screaming merge boot. I don't see that. And I really think people do like look a little too far into it when it comes to that stuff. So I agree with you, Phil. I think it was just it's personalities.
Yeah. And I bought into it with this season, but also like, I just really felt like Brendan and Stephanie had great potential to go deep. It's just, I thought that they would overcome it. But if Stephanie and Brendan aren't who they are, they don't get as much screen time. So it's because of who they are. Jacob's not going to get that much screen time. Not most second boots are going to get as much screen time as Jacob. He just had a great story to tell. He's a fun character. So Of course you're going to get the screen time.
For sure. What was it? It was Dominic and Jacob were our two, they were our two like biggest confessional guys. And Jacob went home at the end of the premiere. And Dominic, have we heard much from Dominic in the past two episodes? No.
We didn't hear anything from tonight.
No, nothing. We didn't hear
from him. Chris is becoming the hero now. I'm getting a little scared. I'm glad I put Dominic number one this week and maybe not next week.
Yeah, we shall see. Actually, That's an excellent segue. This Sunday, we will be live with our predictions at 2 p.m. with insert special guest here. We're not going to tell you until the day of. You can guess we're not going to make any bad Sunday puns because somehow you guys caught on to the fact that we were having Sunday on last week. So tune in this coming Sunday at 2 p.m. We'll be live with our episode 6 predictions. In the meantime, comment on this video, tweet at us, contact us, tremail us with your MVP and your LVP of the episode. I'll end up writing an MVP spotlight of whoever wins. Very curious to see who loses LVP because we actually didn't pitch anything to you guys this time. In the meantime, tweet at us and follow us on Twitter. We're close to 1,200 Twitter followers. Like us on Facebook. We're a little over 200. And keep hitting that subscribe button on YouTube. We're at 3,200, and that just keeps climbing up. Check out our website. Like, tell your friends, 5 stars on iTunes. And we'll be back on Sunday with our episode 6 predictions.
Do you want me to speak?
Do you usually say bye? So,
I was gonna let go. You did a really good job there, but I wish that it was St. Patrick's Day on Sunday because then we could give a lot of hints at who was coming on.
Oh yeah, I know.
You know,
I think it'll be a pretty monstrous reaction.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right.
And with that,
good night, everybody. Now we can go.
Bye.